Could you tell us your stories related to the King, King Rama the Ninth of Thailand? It's a for those who don't know, the King of Thailand passed away about, well, it was in October, so maybe it's 2 months now. Yeah, 13th. Yeah, so October is about 6 weeks or something. No, it's 2 months. And he was the king for 70 years, so most, the vast majority of the Thai people, that is their reference point for leadership, and he was there for 70 years. So. And he was a quite a exemplary leader. And I think at our Katina, there's a few people here that were here at our Katina, and that was the passing of the king was very fresh in everybody's mind. And I'm not sure how many say that day, maybe, I mean, it was in the hall, there's about 250 people. Outside, there's about another 150, and probably at least maybe a third were Thais that were there. So then they asked to, part of the that day, at the Katina, they asked if there was a shrine made in honor of the king, and they asked to sing a kind of song or anthem that is, it's kind of like a national anthem, but it's a particularly for the King of Thailand, and recollecting the barmy of the king, the wholesome qualities. And you know, it was very moving, and even for, say, those of us who didn't understand what was being said, the emotion behind it was really very, very palpable, and quite very moving, really. In terms of stories of the King of Thailand, I mean, he was many things in terms of both a he was a devout Buddhist practitioner, a good and diligent meditator. He was a musician. He was a sports person. He won a gold medal in the Southeast Asian Games with a little sailing dinghy that he had built. So that, you know, he's just multi-talented, and spent a lot of time in development work, thinking through ways that could be a benefit for developing the country. And most people don't get to you don't get to meet the King of Thailand, yeah. One of the passions that the king had was photography, so that he liked taking pictures and documented things. And when Ajahn Chah passed away, then it was a state funeral. King and Queen of Thailand were present at Ajahn Chah's cremation. The Prime Minister of the country, lots of people. Plus 300,000 or 400,000 others. But of course, it's very special when the King and Queen come. So they came in, and they do. Normally, they come in for a ceremony like that, and they make an offering of robes, they make another offering, light the ceremonial pyre, And then they leave. It's sort of in and out. It's a done deal. It's, but then and that day, then of course the Ajahn Chah's funeral was very special in that we had been practicing together at Ajahn Chah's monastery for at that point, well, through the year, but then really focused. For about 8 days, yeah, 8 days, I guess. And the numbers of people practicing in the monastery at that time, there's about 5,000-6,000 monks. There's about 500 or 1,000 nuns. Same number of laymen, and there was about over 10,000 laymen, laywomen, sort of staying in the monastery, practicing regular schedule, chanting, meditation, Dhamma talks, and what that did was create an atmosphere of, I mean, Wat Phopong is already, Ajahn Chah's monastery is already a palpably peaceful place. Then, with that practice being done there and creating the container, then people coming from all around the country to pay respects were kind of part of that, and it absorbed it and settled it, so that over that period of time, there's probably a million people came through the monastery, and then on the day of the cremation, these numbers are hard to count, but probably 300,000 to 400,000 people there, and then the king comes in, and king and queen, and preside over the occasion of the ceremonial lighting of the funeral pyre. And normally, as I said, he would come in, do the ceremonial bit, and then they'd leave. But that day, I think he really felt touched. And he just sat there and took pictures, and everybody else, of course, just sat there. And I think the government officials were probably getting antsy as well. They're used to not having to sit. But anyway, he just really tuned in to that piece of the dedication that was there. And we heard later from people that we knew in the palace that he was really touched by the atmosphere and the presence. And he had a lot of respect for Ajahn Chah. Another story that stood out for me about the King of Thailand was in 1967. I read about this, I wasn't there. President Nixon was visiting Thailand, and he was attending a state dinner. I mean, it's especially at that time, that's America had a huge presence in Thailand. It was kind of the height of the Vietnam War. Thailand had many air bases that were there, a huge amount of military aid coming in. And at the state dinner, President Nixon then related to the assembly there that he had earlier that day he had an audience with the King of Thailand, and he was saying, and he asked a question that he asked of pretty much all the leaders that he would meet. He would ask, "What is it that I could give GSA as, or America? What can America give to you? What do you need from America for your country?" And he said he was really impressed with the king's answer, because the king answered understanding. You know? And that was really, that's really indicative of the, say, the quality. Because, you know, I think that President Nixon was used to getting answers to that as either, you know, money, financial aid, military aid, some kind of trade deal, or, you know, whatever. And you know, the king of Thailand lifted it up to another level, and I think really appropriately, as a country, or in any kind of human relations, you know, the king recognizing that what we need most is not material things from people or some kind of advantage in some way, but what we need is understanding. And it's just so essential. So. Okay.